Mariupol has been embattled, besieged and bombarded. The strategic port city subjected to indiscriminate attack by artillery and from the air since the war started in February. The Russian assault here likely to be one of the focuses of the International Criminal Court's investigations into war crimes.
From the very start, this campaign has been one of extreme brutality, and it's got worse over time. This is, unfortunately, entirely consistent with the Russian way of war that we've seen in previous campaigns in Syria and before that in Chechnya, in the two Chechen wars.
Nigel Gould Davis is an academic specialising in the former Soviet Union. He was previously the UK's ambassador in Belarus.
So the fall of Mariupol, is that going to be a game changer?
It is important. It does, I think, further the Russian aspiration to establish some kind of longer-term control over that southern coastline of Ukraine. Is clearly consistent with the reforming, the drawing back and redeployment of Russian forces we're seeing across Ukraine, which is a consequence of their failures further west, of course. They're regrouping, but Mariupol will be an important part of that, the basis of that new campaign.
In Western capitals, Putin's war so far is seen as a major strategic failure. But people are also aware of the lessons from Chechnya and from Syria. If you're prepared to use the most brutal brute force, whatever the cost to civilians or even your own troops, you might prevail in the end. There is an important date on the horizon. May the 9th is Victory Day, the commemoration of the defeat of the Nazis in Russia in the Second World War. Some fear President Putin will plan a new offensive so he can turn the tide of the Ukraine war before this symbolic date in his country. James Bayes, Al Jazeera, London.
Some refugees from Ukraine are looking for shelter beyond Europe. More than 3,000 of them tried to cross the border from Mexico into the US last month. Rob Reynolds reports on that from California.
I'm on the U.S. side of the U.S.-Mexico border. Right over there is Tijuana, and we have been seeing a steady stream of Ukrainian migrants coming through here and making their way to the United States. You can see here they're talking to relatives. They're taking a rest. We spoke just a few moments ago to several Ukrainians who had just arrived here in the United States.
Very happy and very nice, but we was very tired because long way.
Now all of this is being organized by volunteers. They're coming from Ukrainian churches and social groups, as well as people who have no particular connection to Ukraine, but just thought that it would be a good thing to volunteer and to help people out. And we'd like to talk now to Mark Rybakov. Mark, you're the coordinator of this volunteer effort. Tell me what you've been seeing in terms of Ukrainians coming across, how many, and you know what condition they're in.
So over the past roughly a month, we had a ramp-up period. Initially, it was a slow beginning, and then we had about 200 people cross over in a 24-hour period. But the latest trends, we're having about 1,100 people cross the border in about 24 hours.
So it's increasing?
It's increasing, and the wait times at the border have decreased significantly. Uh-huh. So we're providing the bare essentials, anything that would to fill the immediate need. If people have a need, that need will be met immediately.
Mark, thank you very much for speaking
with
us. Okay. Now, one of the reasons, as Mark mentioned, that there's a very short waiting time for Ukrainian migrants on the Mexican side, is that the U.S. has waived the requirements that were imposed under President Donald Trump called Title 42. That was a policy that allowed for immediate expulsion of migrants. So all the Ukrainians, for the most part, are being brought through, processed very quickly. That has raised some questions about a double standard, and some migrants' rights advocates are wondering about that as far as the people of other nationalities who are coming across. But right now, right here, Ukrainians are touching American soil, and they're safe at last.
Russia says that it successfully tested a new intercontinental ballistic missile called Sarmat. President Vladimir Putin said that it will provide food for thought for those who threaten Russia. So what do we know about this new intercontinental ballistic missile? Well, it's been in development since the early 2000s and is meant to replace Russia's aging Soviet-era arsenal. It weighs more than 200 metric tons and can carry multiple large nuclear warheads capable of hitting different targets in several locations at the same time. It has a long striking range of around 18,000 kilometers, and Russia says it could even fly over the North and South Poles and attack anywhere in the world. Fabrice Poitier is a chief executive officer at Rasmussen Global. He says that unveiling the Sarmat missile isn't quite the coup that the Kremlin might make it out to be.
This is part of a long series of what we call nuclear signaling from Vladimir Putin since the beginning of this war in Ukraine, where he's been engaging in both rhetorically and also in some kind of measures to show that he might be willing to use nuclear weapons if Russia were to be threatened. However, this Sarmat intercontinental missile is actually 2 years late on delivery. So even though Putin is presenting things as if it's a great moment for the strength of Russia, it actually tells you also about the delays and the corruption in the Russian armament procurement system. And I think the key question here is whether Western allies, NATO allies, are going to respond to what is, again, as I mentioned, yet again, a nuclear signaling from Vladimir Putin by saying that nuclear weapons and weapons of mass destruction have nothing to do in the war in Ukraine. And the moment they will be brought in that war, it will fundamentally change the nature of the conflict. And it was already said a few weeks ago at the NATO summit, but I think it doesn't hurt repeating it. That's the principle of an intercontinental missile, is to be able to hit a target tens of thousands of kilometers away. But I think that what the Pentagon also said is they are very confident in their own capabilities. So I think there is an attempt implicitly to restore some kind of stability in the strategic nuclear deterrent between the two countries.